This is Contact, AMI Audio's weekly interview program, news, information, and entertainment. Join us now as AMI makes contact.
I'm Jason Vermesh. Joan Brock was a teacher at the Iowa Braille and Sight-Saving School for Children when at the age of 32, she developed a rare autoimmune disease that left her without sight. She encountered further challenges a few years later when her husband passed away, leaving her alone to raise her young daughter. As a result, Miss Brock would channel her energies to become a successful author with her memoirs, More Than Meets the Eye, which in 2003 was made into a movie of the same name. AMI TV will be broadcasting the movie tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. Eastern, repeated at midnight. Since then, Miss Brock has become a successful motivational speaker throughout North America. She recently published a new book, Come to Your Senses, an inspirational guide for using all of your senses. The book is published by Wheatmark and is available in ebook format. We reached Miss Brock at her home in Tucson, Arizona. Thank you again, Joan. Thanks so much for joining us here on AMI.
Thank you.
You worked as a teacher at the Iowa Braille and Sight-Saving School for Blind Children. What attracted you to this school? Why did you start your journey there?
I began dating a gentleman who was also employed at the school, and we began dating and decided to get married, so now I moved to this beautiful little town in Iowa, and the major employer in that town was the School for Blind. I had never worked with blind or seen blind children, but my first job there was as a house parent. It was a residential setting, and thus began my journey of learning about the visually impaired and blind children and all that they could do and all that there was to teach them. And I was a sighted person at the time as well. So there was a lot to learn, and it was extraordinary for me.
And what were your roles there? How did you participate in the community?
Well, the town was very small. It was about 5,000 people, and so the school was very involved and wrapped into the community. The community was wrapped into the Braille school. And one of my jobs eventually was as the dormitory liaison, which was a person that I coordinated activities between the school, the students, and some of the public activities, whether it's church or scouting or whatever the case may be. I also went out into the community in the entire state of Iowa and spoke to the Lions Clubs, the Rotary Clubs, the Ladies Church Groups, and spoke to them about how blind children learn. So I was pretty much the expert, so to speak, on, you know, blind children. And strangely enough, those important skills, I became a certified Braillist during those first 5 years of my employment there. And oddly enough, I didn't know at the time how important those skills and all of those techniques would be to me personally.
Well, that's a great thing to mention, because while you were teaching there, at the age of 32, you developed a rare eye disease that resulted in your vision loss.
I did. Eventually, we had a little girl, and she was 3 at the time, and the first moment that I remember, which actually is the first vignette that I write about in my book, More Than Meets the Eye, is the moment when I couldn't find her pink socks in the drawer. And basically what was happening was I had and have an autoimmune condition. It attacked the veins and cells going to the retina, as well as the cones and rods. So the first thing that was happening was it was affecting my color perception. And that went first. I could see the white and the blue and the green socks, but I couldn't find the pink ones. That was the first thing I remembered happening. Gradually, I began having more and more problems. There were shadows. There was less color perception and depth perception. And basically, I lost my sight in 3 weeks.
And what were you thinking? What was on your mind?
You know what? I look back now. This was 1984. And I look back so many years later, and I don't think you can comprehend the reality of and the finality of that kind of a loss. It doesn't sink in. You cannot wrap your brain around it. I thought I did, but in retrospect, I really did not. And also, I'm working and teaching at a school for blind children. How can this be? You cannot believe this is happening. And I think the vision loss happened. We were told it was irreversible, which was an incredibly difficult day for me. just the worst day of my life, because facing that was very difficult. And in fact, denial became a bit of a friend. You know, you say, well, I can do this. I've been teaching blind children for 5 years. I should be able to do this. I'll just take all those skills and integrate them into my own life. And we did. We put one foot in front of the other and pretty much just went forward as best we could. So what was I thinking about it? At the time, I was thinking of just survival, basically. I had a little girl who was 3. I had a job. I had a family. I had a home. I didn't want anything to change. How could I not do it? How could I not take those skills and be an example to those students that I'd been teaching, to the community, to my friends, to my family, much less to my daughter and to myself?
And how did it impact your work at the school?
You know, we adapted a few things. I could no longer drive the students to activities, and so we had a driver. They weren't going to fire me for going blind, which I always, when I share with my audience, as since I've become an inspirational speaker, which has absolutely taken me around the world, including Canada, a variety of times. It was just simply making those gentle changes where I could accept what I had to do, not without difficulty, certainly. I'm not going to make this all rosy and Pollyanna, but it was just an important thing for me to be able to do, to go forward and work, continue working. And I did.
So in many ways, the way that you dealt with it is just you didn't let it stop you. You just soldiered on.
And I see that very, very often, not only with people who have vision loss, but people who have loss of some sort, who have over the years been asked to counsel, whether it's through vision loss, the loss of someone or a loved one, or loss of a job, loss of a home. Those that get through it find the tenacity to pull up their bootstraps, if you will, and go forward positively and productively. It is a choice we have to make. And I did not even see it as an option to not find a way to go forward. With mistakes, certainly, yes. Even today, mistakes. But who doesn't have mistakes in their lives daily? Not just the vision loss and blind community. Anybody has mistakes and accidents, and they have to correct it and go forward and find a way in which to organize their lives and understand what has happened and accept it and go forward.
What was the most difficult part of losing your vision?
Not seeing my daughter's face. That continues to be a very difficult thing. And now my daughter is 31 years old, she's married, and she has a little baby boy who is 9 months old. I'm a grandma. It's so exciting. And yet, I would give anything to see his face. But I turn my thoughts, quite frankly, to the place of knowing that I am by his side and her side and their side. I'm able to say that I have survived some very difficult things, and I'm just blessed to be with them.
That's very beautifully said. And when I was actually doing some research for this, I stumbled upon your Facebook page and saw a picture of your daughter and her family. And you have a very beautiful family.
Thank you. It's wonderful. It's so much fun.
It's adorable.
They really are wonderful.
There was a picture of, I believe, your grandchild in a, it appeared to be a lion costume from The Wizard of Oz. And it was adorable.
They had a gathering at their home with some friends, and it was before Halloween, but she had ordered costumes from The Wizard of Oz, and Joy, my daughter, was Dorothy. Her husband was the Scarecrow, and little Skylar, my grandson, is the lion costume is adorable, they said. So it's just, they've had so many compliments on it, so it's been really quite fun.
This is Contact on AMI Audio. I'm your host, Jason Vermesh. Now, the media tends to portray individuals with disabilities as either superheroes or as super victims. When you lost your vision, were these attitudes something you experienced? And a second part to that question, do you think that those views on people with disabilities are changing?
Boy, first of all, I was in this community of 5,000 people where seeing a blind person, using a cane to walk downtown and purchase items was not uncommon. So when I lost my sight and I was going through my transition of, you know, using cane travel and learning all and practicing and going through all these things, it was not an uncommon thing. I was in this kind of buffered community where I was able to go forward without a lot of stress of, oh, I wonder what people are looking at. Part of the story we haven't discussed is about 4 years after my vision loss, my first husband became very ill, and we lost him in 7 months to cancer. And he was very young. He was 36. At that point, I truly began to deal with my vision loss. You see, I had all these people around me that were incredibly wonderful. All of my friends were specialists in the field of teaching the visually impaired. My husband had been teaching blind for 7 years. I had been teaching blind for 5 years. The community was all there. All of the technology for the blind was at my fingertips. I was so fortunate. When Joe died, my former husband, I made some very important decisions. I had grown up in California. It's a kind of a long story, which quite frankly is told in my book, More Than Meets the Eye. I grew up in California, and I needed to be near family. I then, after Joy finished second grade and after her father had passed and she finished second grade, we moved back to California. There is where I first experienced a bit of isolation. Again, I was surrounded by people that I had grown up with and family, friends, and my family, and there was a lot of support, which I think is essential and very important for someone going through any kind of loss, no matter who you are or what kind of loss you have. But there were moments where I felt, you know, I really am out of the ordinary. I am different from everybody else. And people were very curious. The media, the story was extraordinary in that people found it just very odd that I had lost my sight while working at a school for the blind. I had articles done on my story, and I don't think they created me. I would like to think they did not create my story as a superhuman. I am really ordinary. I just made some choices to go forward. I began being asked to share the story. Did the media find it odd? I would like to think they chose sharing my story in a very kind way. Is the world changing in people understanding more and more? Slowly, right? Do you think? I think slowly there are more people in the workplace, although it needs to be more and more accepted. But we feel, I mean, the accessibility for wheelchair-bound is much more accessible, not perfect. And not every building built in 1802 is going to be able to be made accessible. It's just, those, I believe, are facts. The reality of us making things accessible and adapted from here on out is a no-brainer. It has to be done. I think we have to be realistic, but are people in general informed when they meet me? No, I still get a lot of very odd questions, particularly when I travel. I feel like I'm an ambassador in the fact that I'm educating every person that is assisting me. I do it with kindness, and, you know, I help them, let them know what they can do to help me, not how they can help, not what they think they should do for me. There's a difference, right? There's a huge difference. They want to take me and push me or, you know, pull me. And in fact, I teach them right away what sighted guide is and what might be best for me in a very crowded airport or whatever. So I think it's our job. It's part of our job to do that. And in fact, I've written a second book, which I've just self-published in September, and am in the process of hopefully pursuing getting it accessible and talking books for the blind. But it is hopefully educating people of what we can do and how we can take all of the senses that we have and use them to our fullest to lead that positive, productive life.
I think that that was a really great answer to that question. And I think that it is just all about everyone, you know, being much more compassionate and much more understanding.
Yeah, so. Exactly. That your word compassionate is the word of the day, quite frankly.
We need to build those communities and keep them strong. Now, you mentioned your book. Let's talk about your first book, More Than Meets the Eye. What prompted you to write on your life experiences?
After I moved back to California with my daughter, I became introduced to the talking computer. Now, you know, this is many years ago, and I had a lot to learn, and technology continues to be a challenge for me. I know enough to be dangerous, but after being introduced to that, there was so much that had happened to us that I felt compelled to write a journal for my daughter. I thought someday Joy is going to want to know some of these things. And I wrote for about 2 years. I was eventually introduced to a gentleman, Mr. Derek Gill, who co-authored the book with me. And he had written many books, including Tom Sullivan's More, If You Could See What I Hear. Tom and I had been introduced, and he introduced me to Derek. From there, Derek and I ended up working together and writing my life story. A few years later, that book was put into the hands of a couple of producers that called me one day and said, we'd like to make this a movie. And we were just shocked. I mean, really, it was extraordinary. Nothing, you know, none of it was really planned. I had written a journal. I hadn't written a book, per se. I'd written a journal. People found the story to be very interesting. From there, you know, it just took on a life of its own. And I am very fortunate. It's taken me around the world. You know, we filmed the movie in Winnipeg. And that was in March and early April. Was it just in March of 2003? And it premiered on Lifetime in June of 2003. So it's been shown many, many times, and it's been shown internationally. And I feel very honored that you're going to be showing it on the 3rd, correct? December 3rd. And so it's just so exciting that this book became what it did. And I've learned a lot from that publishing. HarperCollins was the original publisher, and now I sell it at my conferences, and people continue to find, you know, hope. And I would like to think other people reading will find hope and strength in it that can give them a different food for thought as they go forward in their life, particularly in the moments of disappointment and struggle.
You're listening to Contact on AMI Audio. I'm your host, Jason Vermesh. And it must have been the book that sort of influenced your decision to become a motivational speaker.
It did. From those moments in when I was living in California, and I live now in Arizona, and I'm remarried to a high school friend of mine that had never been married, and just we're leading a great life down here in warm Arizona. But people began asking me to share my story again at the Rotary Clubs, Lions Clubs, you know, ladies' church groups. And from there, people in those audience belong to national associations and organizations. And really the first big conference that I spoke at was something was called the Million Dollar Roundtable, which is the largest annual conference for the International Organization of Insurance Salespeople. And from there, that experience took me to Malaysia and Singapore and Puerto Rico and Canada and Bermuda and really all around the world. And it really has been an experience because of the loss of my first husband. I was fortunate in that we were organized in our lives. And as a blind person, organizational skills are essential, as I think we all know. It's important to put the keys to the house in the same place or you just simply don't find them ever again. But being organized and having an insurance policy, small though it was, helped me to be able to put a roof over my daughter's head and to go forward. I also bought the docking computer, and I was able to go forward with my life with a career and support myself and my daughter. Unbelievable. And as a blind, disabled, single-parented mother, single parent, I don't know, a widow, all those labels that I had now that I didn't really feel any different, but I had labels. I was able to do that because of the insurance that I had, and thus the insurance industry was very, very kind in having me come and share my story to the their agents to learn how important, really, that part of our world is.
Now, as a motivational speaker, you speak a lot about change. What did your own personal experiences with change teach you about it?
The major change was, first of all, it has to do also with what I miss, and I miss seeing faces, and I miss seeing the stars, and there are many things I miss. But in those changes, and in those things that I miss, the changes are that I get to meet people from the inside out. I'm very fortunate. As a blind person, I don't first judge someone by what they're wearing or what they're not wearing or all of those surface things that are just simply human nature, and I understand that, but it gradually became less and less important. What became more important was the handshake, the genuine word, the kindness in their actions, no matter who they were. And I have the opportunity of meeting so many people because of my career. It's been extraordinary. So the changes there, that was the biggest change first, was understanding how I could look at this from a positive place. And that's what we all have to do, no matter who we are. Huge problems in our world today, huge changes right now in the United States out east with the storm Sandy just changed so many lives. How are they, in fact, going to be able to go forward positively positively and productively? Not until they find a positive way to look at the change are they going to be able to do that. And some will be able to, and some will not. Just as in my counseling, those that I've had the chance to speak to, some go forward positively, and some just simply cannot.
Before we finish, can you tell us a bit about your new book, Come to Your Senses, An Inspirational Guide for Using All of Your Senses?
Yes. I wrote this over a period of 10 years. It's been a labor of love. And I've written about all of the five senses, of course, that are, we know about those, the sense of sight and hearing and taste, smell, and touch. But I've also written about many other senses. I think there are 21 chapters. The sense of responsibility, common sense, a sense of peace, sense of loss, sense of humor. We could go on and on. And I've taken a vignette from my own life, things that have happened, a moment in time, and I've had extraordinary opportunities and experiences just in my travels. And I've written about that, hopefully most often, with a little bit of humor wrapped in, because anybody who's visually impaired or blind knows that just funny things happen all the time, and you have to have a sense of humor. But then I also have a short section on how that sense, whether it's a sense of responsibility or sensitivity is one of the chapters, relates to our world, and or how that particular sense of that chapter relates to you, the reader, and how it might give food for thought to go forward, and possibly your sense of direction is not something you've focused on, or the sense of order, organizational skills might be something you need to reevaluate just to make your life a little bit better. So I've written this book, and I'm just real proud of it. And I wrote it all by myself, not without the help of, many editors and people that publish, but it's very exciting. And I'm hopeful it'll be in an accessible form very soon. I'm just trying to find the right steps to get that done.
Of course. Well, actually, it sounds not only like a guide to using all your senses, but just a guide to a positive life.
I would like to think so. I appreciate that comment on it.
Well, thank you so much, Joan. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
The book, More Than Meets the Eye, which is what the movie is based on, truly is the basis and gives you much more of the story. When they make a movie, there's only so much time and so much money to make it true to life. But it does, I would like to think, leave the viewer with some hope and encouraging thoughts.
Joan Brock has been our guest today on Contact. Miss Brock is the author of the book More Than Meets the Eye. Her latest book, Come to Your Senses, is published by Wheatmark and available in ebook format. AMI TV will be broadcasting the movie More Than Meets the Eye, The Joan Brock Story, tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern and repeated at midnight. She spoke to us on the phone from her home in Tucson, Arizona. For AMI Audio, on behalf of producer Michael Iantorno, executive producer Paul Daniel, with special thanks to Joe LaManna, I'm Jason Vermesh.
This has been Contact. Join AMI Audio every week for a friendly exchange of ideas. Visit our accessible online archive for past programs. Thanks for listening.